Father, again, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your word, which has been preserved for us over the years. Lord, when we look back in history, we see that many individuals laid down their lives that we could have your word, have it translated for us into our own language, where we can read it and understand it. And Lord, we thank you that this morning that your spirit is here. And Lord, we ask you that by your spirit you might take your word and give us insights, give us revelation. Lord, we ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to edify us through your word, build us up through your word, equip us through your word this morning, and more than anything else, glorify Christ as your word comes forth. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. So we are continuing this series this morning. Series we call The Inner Conflicts of the Believer. And as I shared last week, even though it says inner conflicts of the believer, it really should be inner conflicts of a believer, me, really meaning me. I'm just sharing some of my inner conflicts and hoping that somehow you can identify with some of the things I wrestle with in my mind, in my thoughts, as I seek to serve the Lord. And some of these conflicts become more real as we go through this pandemic time, and perhaps having more time on my hands to reflect before the Lord. So this morning, I want to share a little bit with us. First, I want to share concerning pride versus having confidence in God. That conflict of pride versus having confidence in God. And, you know, I was taught and trained perhaps at college to, you know, you need to present yourself with confidence. Because if you don't have confidence, then why would anybody want to trust you? And so you have this idea of confidence, but I made sure to put those two words after it, confidence in God and not just confidence in myself, because there's a big difference. And so what's the difference between pride and having confidence in our God? We just sang this morning that we know that God is going to make a way for us and that this giant is not going to stand in front of us. And we have this confidence in our God that he's going to cause this giant to fall. It's not confidence in ourselves, but it's confidence in our God. And what's the difference between that and pride? So I'm going to read first from Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 verse 12 says, "How have you fallen from heaven, morning star," or really Lucifer, "how have you fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zavon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you have been brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." And so this is the first example, perhaps, in God's creation of one of his creatures displaying pride. And pride, something about it that it tends to put self first, or put self at the center of everything. Everything revolves and resolves and rotates and everything all around me and myself and I. And that's part of this sign of pride. And here Lucifer, also known as Satan and as the devil, if you look at those verses, you'll see that he is constantly referring to himself, and he's saying, "I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars, I will sit enthroned above the assembly, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High God." And it's all about Lucifer. It was all about him, and he wanted to ascend above everything else. And that's a sign of pride, where it's all about me wanting to ascend and to be the center of everything, and everything revolves around me, and I'm the best thing to happen to your life ever since you were born. And it's all, you know, and when you have that type of perspective, it really is a sign of pride being at work. where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. This is what Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." And so Paul is not saying we shouldn't realize what God has deposited in us, but he's saying don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. In other words, to realize that God has put some things inside of you. And Paul says it's by the grace of God. It's not because he was so smart or so wise, but it's all because of God's goodness and God's grace. And to realize that whatever we accomplish, whatever we do, is because of God's goodness and God's grace. And so in that type of scenario, the individual, me, takes a backseat to what God has done and what God has deposited in us. And yet still we need to recognize it and to embrace it and to use it. Not to shy away from it, because if God has called you to be a teacher, then you need to rise up and teach. But to realize as you teach, you actually are still dependent upon God. I mean, teaching at a college, as many of you know, can be challenging. And I know even for those of you who teach in the schools, it's even more challenging because you have kids there and you don't know what is happening to them, but they just start to act up and just be strange. And no matter how much you have been trained and you have been taught and you have been exposed, you realize that on the spur of the moment, you still need God's grace. You still need God's wisdom to know how to handle each situation. For me, teaching in a college, I need God's wisdom because all sorts of people come in there with all sorts of ideas. And they actually drive me back to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, help me. How do I communicate to these young people? How do I help them to see that their thoughts are out of whack? Yeah. And so I still have to cry out to the Lord and depend upon God and not to believe that because I've had a little bit of training that is sufficient. It really isn't. We still need God's grace. We still need God's goodness. One of the individuals who suffered from this pride thing in the scriptures is King Saul, the very first king of Israel. And in 1 Samuel, we find lots of evidences to Saul's struggle with this issue of pride. I want to read a scripture for us from 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 12. Samuel had wrestled with the Lord the night before, and God had told him, "Listen, I'm finished with Saul." And here comes Samuel in verse 12. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. So here is King Saul, the first king of Israel. He has been successful in a few battles, but he has not been totally obedient to the Lord, and he's gone to set up a monument in his own honor. It's all about me, King Saul, and what I have done. Even though he started out humble, even though he didn't see himself as anything great initially, but because he was successful in a few battles, all of a sudden it became about him, and he had to set up something not to honor God, but to honor himself. And that's what pride seeks to do, is to get honor for myself and not to have anybody else ahead of me. I need to be number one. I need to be the person who is seen. I need to be the person who is honored. And if you won't do it, I'll do it for myself. I mean, just think about it. To have that gall to actually set up a monument in your own honor. And that's what King Saul did. Wanting to seek honor for himself and to seek honor from people. And that was part of his struggle here, even as he interacted with Samuel. And he was disobedient to the Lord. And one of the things that pride does, pride finds it hard to accept that you have done something wrong. They always shift the blame to somebody else. It's not my fault. It's the soldiers. They were the ones who took the cattle. They were the ones who didn't kill Agag. It's not my fault. I am blameless. I am the perfect king. It's these soldiers who are the ones to be blamed. And so pride finds it hard to accept that I have done something wrong and I need to change. We see pride all across our society. In most of our politicians, on both sides of the aisle, you can see the pride there coming out of their lives. Where they find it hard to say, I've done something wrong. They always seek to blame somebody else. So in 1 Samuel 15, it says, "But Samuel said, 'What is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear?' Saul answered, 'The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They speared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest.'" And Saul couldn't realize that you have been disobedient. How many know that partial obedience is still disobedience? When God tells us to do something, the word just came. When God tells us to do something, we need to obey fully, completely, even if it doesn't make any sense to us. God didn't ask Saul for his understanding as to what to do. From Saul's perspective, why would I want to destroy all his nice things? I can actually offer them to the Lord and impress God. And God is like, "No, I'm not impressed with that. I want total obedience from you." And today was Saul's pride acting up. Saul was threatened by the greater success of others. That's what happens to pride. They don't mind if you have a little success, but as long as it doesn't make you look better than I do. You see? And so here we had David. David slew Goliath, and the people were rejoicing, the ladies were rejoicing, and they were saying, "Saul has killed his thousands," and Saul felt good with that. And then they started to say, "But David has killed 10,000. And David seemed to be getting greater honor and greater success than Saul, and that created a problem for Saul. And that's a sign of pride. When nobody else can look better than you, it has to be, me. No, you can look a little less than me, but not equal to me, nor better than me. And that was part of Saul's issue. He was full of pride. And even when, he realized that he was wrong, he still wanted Samuel to come back and honor him before the people. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And verse 22, Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so I may worship the Lord your God." Some public spectacle. That's a sign of pride. Still wanted to be honored in front of people rather than to cry out to God and to lay yourself bare before the Lord, irrespective of what people think. You can see the difference between Saul and David. When David was confronted with his own sinfulness, David cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, don't take away your Holy Spirit from me." He made it bare, and it's written for us now in the Psalms that we can see David going through his repentance and not necessarily wanting to look good before the people. And friends, there's a warning there for me and for you that we need to make sure that our hearts are right before God, not trying to impress people, but rather trying to walk before God with a humble heart, trying to walk before God knowing that we have dealt with the issues that God has shown us we need to deal with in our lives. People might not even know about them. They don't need to. It's between you and God. It's between me and God. You don't need to know what God is saying to me in my life in terms of the issues I need to address. But humility says, "Lord, I need you. I need to show me the areas in my life that need to be addressed so that I can turn away from them and continue to experience your grace and your goodness." Pride leads us to be overly critical of other people. It's one of the signs where we just become so hypercritical. Nobody else can do anything right. You just find fault all the time. And that's what happened with Saul here. He became critical of everybody else. And there was a certain time when he was saying that nobody even cares about me because, look, they don't tell me that my son Jonathan has gone and made a covenant with David. Nobody cares about me. And everything was about him. He became critical of the priest because the priest gave David bread. And before you know it, he used his authority to destroy the priest and to destroy the entire town of Nob. That was pride at work. And I put here in the notes that pride can lead us eventually to narcissism. We can't even see that there's anything wrong with us. We just admire our own beauty. King Solomon was one of those who ended up being narcissistic because of his success. After a while, it says he disobeyed God. God says, "Don't get married to this foreign woman." He, irrespective of whatever God says, "I am so special that I can do whatever I can do. I can live above the law." And he married this foreign woman. And eventually, this same woman led him away from God. That's pride. But what about confidence? No, sir. I'm so glad you asked. You see, there are several words used in the scripture for confidence. And I put some of them there in the notes. I won't try and pronounce them. I'll just tell you the different meanings. One of the meanings is trust. To put your trust in God. When it says put your confidence in God, to put your trust in God. Another meaning is boldness. To be able to stand because of what God has said or done. You can stand boldly, like David stood boldly before Goliath. Not because he had strengthened himself, but because he was trusting in God and believed that God was going to do something to defend God's name. So it gives you this boldness to stand on the behalf of God. And then another word means to undertake or to support. So these are three different words used in the New Testament to talk about trust. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Where a couple of these words are used. Philippians 3, verse 3, this is what the Apostle Paul says. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. The Apostle Paul is saying he puts no confidence in his flesh. And when he talks about flesh, he's talking about his history. So he goes on to say, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, I could. If someone else think that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, these are some credentials that as a natural Jew I could boast in. I could put confidence in. I could have pride in. I'm a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He came from a line of Pharisees. He says, as to the law, faultless. I mean, very few people could say that. As to the law, I've obeyed it as much as it's possible to be obeyed. And Paul is saying, I'm not putting any confidence in any of those things. Because those things really, if you put confidence in them, lead to pride. If you think that you're so significant because you're from this particular family, and that's what makes you significant, that's pride. You see? If you think that by your own efforts, you've been so righteous before God, you have deceived yourself. You see? If you think because you've been able to get a college degree, you're so smarter than everybody else, you have deceived yourself. And you're standing in pride. And so Paul says, I will not put any confidence, I will not boast about those things. Then he goes on to say, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And then he goes on to say, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so here Paul is saying, this is my heart's desire, is to know the Lord. And all of these things that of my history, all these things I could boast in, don't help me to know God. They don't help me to grow in God. They don't give me any foot ahead of anybody else before God. The only thing I can do is to thank God that through Christ Jesus, I can now have this relationship with God. And I would dare want to go after him and forget all those things which are behind me. And to press towards the mark of laying hold of the reason for which God laid hold of me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Because there were people coming into the church boasting, listen, we are Pharisees, we understand the law. Don't listen to Paul. And Paul's like, listen, I could boast in those things, but those things, I cannot put any confidence, I cannot put any undertaking in there. They can't undergird me. I need God and God alone. It's the confidence that we're talking about focuses on God and what God has done and what God has said. It doesn't focus on me. It really focuses on what God has done and maybe what God has done in me and through me. But it's not about me. It's about God. It turns around and gives all the honor and all the glory back to the Lord. When David was coming against Goliath, David said, "You come to me with us, you know, with shield and javelin, etc. But I come to you what? In the name of the Lord of hosts." In other words, David's confidence was in God. It wasn't in his ability to sling a stone. His ability, his confidence was in God's ability to take down the giant. Friends, our confidence is in God and what God has said, in God's ability and who the God whom we serve. It's not in who we are, but it's in God. It enables us to embrace how God sees us. So we talk about our identity in God, as we're sons and daughters of God. It's not something that I did of my own accord or you did of your own accord. It's something that God says about us, and therefore we can embrace it and walk in it. Not out of pride, but out of the fact that God has declared us who we are, and he wants to therefore show to the world who we are. And so we walk in that identity, all the identities God said about us, by basically depending upon him to work through us. It's not by our own strength. It's not by might or by power. It's by the Spirit of God that these things are accomplished in us and through us. And because of what God has deposited in us, then we can recognize the giftings and callings of God inside of us. So Paul could say, with confidence, that I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this is what God has done. He goes on to say, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. But even then, it's not even me. I might have worked harder than the other apostles, but it's not really me. It's the grace of God inside of me. And so it's still giving honor and glory back to the Lord. It's not about me. It's about what God is doing in me and through me so that God might be glorified. And so if you go into your own areas of life, your own areas of profession, you're going there as a child of God, depending upon God to give you wisdom, depending upon God to open opportunities so that God might be glorified. And it makes a world of a difference, you see. Because now you're dependent upon God. Yes, you have some training. Yes, you have some exposure. But you know what? You still need God. You still need God's grace and God's ability. I thank God I see so many gifted people. I think of... So many gifted, anointed people, and when they depend upon God, it makes a world of a difference. And it should be the same for all of us. So the psalmist, David says, "By my God, I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. It's not by me, it's by what God will do in me and through me." That's why Paul could say, "I can do all things through who? Through Christ, who strengthens me." You see, so our confidence is not in ourselves. It's in God. And what we want is for God to be seen, God to be glorified, and for us to be hidden behind the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, some of you know I went to a Mennonite Brethren seminary years ago. And one of my professors, he's the professor of missions, a very brilliant man, a man named Hans Kosdorf. He could speak four different languages, not just speak them, but he said to students, "You can write your paper in any of these four languages, German, English, what is it again? German, English, Spanish, and one other language. Don't know which one it was. But he could speak those fluently, and he said to them, "You can write your papers in any of these languages," because we had students from Europe all over coming. He was such a brilliant man. He had two doctoral degrees. And when this man came in for class, each session, he was on his knees praying, asking God to help us. And that made an impact upon me over the years. It's not by might. It's not by natural abilities. But it's by dependence upon God. When you go to your doctors, pray that God will guide them. Pray that God will help them to diagnose what might be wrong. Don't just trust their training. They need to be dependent upon God to lead and direct them. And so it's not putting confidence in ourselves, but it's putting confidence in our God and depending upon our God. Psalm 33 and verse 16. It says, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its strength, it cannot save. And here what the psalmist is saying is that, listen, if you put your confidence in these natural things, the size of your army, you're likely to fall. Because we have seen in scripture where God has used Gideon with an army of 300 to get victory. You see? So you don't put your confidence and your trust in the size of your army, in your bank account, in your job and all these type of things, because those things will fail us. But put your confidence and your trust in God and in God alone, and he will take you through. These things might fall to the wayside, but God will bring you all the way through. Oh, help us. Help us. I'm trying to decide if I want to go further based upon the time that we have. Let me just read another scripture for us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. This is what the Apostle Paul said. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying, that I am the least of the apostles. We today would have been saying, no, Paul, don't talk like that. You are perhaps the foremost of the apostles. He has written about half of the New Testament. He's the one who took the gospel to the Gentile world. He's the one who has helped us to understand the place of the law for the believer. We would have said, Paul, no, Paul, don't speak like that. You are the foremost of all the apostles. But Paul is like, no. You don't seem to understand. I persecuted the church of God. I should have been put to death. But it's the grace of God that I'm still alive. It's the grace of God that I'm able to interact and reach churches. It's the grace of God who's at work in me. And so I don't boast that I do all of these things. Rather, I boast in what God has done in me. Second Corinthians chapter 11. This should be my last scripture for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 17. Others have come to the church again and are boasting. And this is what Paul says, In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. So people come into the church and we're boasting. And Paul is like, that's really foolish talk. Because you're not boasting about the Lord. You're boasting about your own abilities. But just in case they don't realize, I could boast if I want to. So it says, verse 19, you get to put up with the fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or puts on air or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we too were weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. And he goes on to talk about some of the ways in which he suffered as he carried the gospel. But he was basically saying all those things mean nothing in the sight of God. All those things are rubbish in the sight of God. And it goes on to say, if I'm going to boast, what am I going to boast about? My weaknesses. I'm going to boast about the fact that in my weakness, Jesus Christ is made strong. And in my weakness, people can see the power of God at work in me and through me. So if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weakness. He said, I could boast about the man who was caught up into the third heavens, but that's irrelevant. Rather, I'm going to boast about the fact that God is working in me. He gave me this thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. And I cried unto him 3 times saying, Lord, take it away from me. And he said to me, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you to take you through. And so if we are going to boast, if you are going to boast, boast about the fact that God's grace is made perfect in all weaknesses. Boast about the fact that God's grace comes to lift you up and to bring you to where God wants you to go. So it's not about me. It's about a God who's at work in me and through me. It's about a God who has made a way for you and for me to have relationship with him. It's a God who's going to fight all of my battles. It's not about how many scriptures I can quote. It's not about how I can stand and speak to the devil. It really is about how much I can stand in God and allow God to work in me and through me to fulfill his will and his purposes. Let us stand this morning. And so the struggle there is, how do I walk in confidence in my God and not walk in pride and arrogance? And friends, the idea here is that we put our trust, we put our confidence, we put our boast, we brag about what God does, and we seek to give God all the glory and all of the honor. We don't take glory and honor for ourselves. It's not about us, it's about the Lord. We don't try to push ourselves before God to be seen, but rather we stand back and allow the cross of Jesus Christ to be seen. That's what we are called to do. Even your profession, even when people give you a compliment, you can say, you know what, it's but by the grace of God that I stand here. How many of you know that many others have giftings and abilities, but they didn't have the opportunities to get through? And so it's only because of God's grace. God opened some doors. God provided some finances. God provided some resources, some scholarships, whatever it was. It was all God's doing. And you and I just walk through it. And so we need to stand and give God all the honor and all the glory. It's not about me. It's about him. And for him to be seen. And when you go to your jobs, when you go to your school, to help people to realize that it's really God who has gifted you. It is God who has worked in you and through you. And give God all the honor. Give it back to him. He deserves it. Let us bow our heads this morning. We sang earlier, I'm not backing down from any giant, because I know how the story ends. Friends, the story ends in victory if we stand back and put our confidence and our trust in the Lord. Some people might have lost their jobs. Some people might have been put on furlough because of this pandemic. It's only God who will see you through. It's only God who will make a way. And so here's a great opportunity for us to call upon our God and to allow God's name to be glorified and to give God all the honor and all the glory, and not to walk around believing that just because I am who I am, because I've come from this certain family, because I have certain contacts, this is how things are going to be. But rather say, it is God who works. It is God who opens doors. It is God who blesses me. He deserves all the honor and all the credit. And so this morning, there may be people here that you are facing some battles. You're facing some situations. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, would you pray with me and for me? Just raise your hand. Anybody in this house? Several hands. Let's keep those hands up as we lift up to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for those hands that are raised all across this room. And Father God, our confidence is not in ourselves. Lord, our confidence is not in our abilities. Lord, our confidence is in you. Lord, we're confident our God will not leave us. We're confident our God will work on our behalf. Lord, we are confident our God will lift us up. Lord, we are confident that you are the one who will turn what looks like evil, you'll turn it around for good. And so, Lord, this morning, oh God, we turn these circumstances again over to you, oh Father God. And Lord, we ask your God to continue to work. We ask your God to continue to intervene. Lord, we ask your God to cause us to come through, oh God, like the Hebrew boys, not smelling of smoke, but standing there, oh God, being able to glorify you and to worship you and to magnify your name. Father God, I speak to every one of these circumstances, and I declare that the will of God be established. Father, I speak against every uprising of the enemy. And we say, Satan, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we speak to every giant circumstances. And we command those circumstances to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those, oh God, who will watch this broadcast, who will watch this service. And Father, we pray too that you might intervene in their circumstances. And Father, you would indeed show yourself strong in their situation, we pray. Father, glorify yourself this morning, we pray. As I was praying this week, these two proverbs came to me, and I want to share them this morning. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So you have to commit it. In other words, you have to release it to the Lord. You have to say, Lord, you do this thing. Lord, you bring it to pass. And he promises to establish these plans. So commit whatever you do to the Lord, and he will establish your plans. The second word is from Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. One version says, man devises plans, but God establishes his steps. So as you plan and as you think through things to realize and to step aside and say, Lord, it is you that I'm dependent upon to lead and guide me. You I'm dependent upon to open doors. Submit all of those plans to the Lord. Don't try and figure it out. Don't try and think it out and try and work it out. It will cause you to have exhaustion, mental exhaustion. Commit it to the Lord, and he will establish it. And so, Father, this morning, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the miracles, oh God, you're working in the lives of your people. Lord, as we seek to walk with you in obedience, as we seek to yield to your lordship, Lord, we pray that you will be glorified. Lord, we establish, oh God, not monuments to ourselves, but instead we establish altars to you, oh God, where you can be seen, where you can be exalted, where you can be worshipped. Lord, we turn back, oh God, and give you all the honor and all the glory. And we declare that we are yours. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. That you would put your spirit, your Holy Spirit, inside of us. Lord, we are humbled by the fact that, Lord, we so easily drift from you, but Lord, you still come after us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace that's at work in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the physical abilities you've given unto us. We thank you for the mental abilities you've given unto us. We thank you for the opportunities you've given unto us. And Lord, we turn it all back to you, oh Lord. We say, you deserve all the honor and you deserve all the glory. And Father, we pray that in everything that we would do and everything that we would say, that Christ would be glorified. And Father, we would not stand in the place where Christ needs to stand. That Lord, we would not take all the honor to ourselves, but Lord, instead we'll turn it around and point people to you, the God who has worked in us and through us. Lord, this morning we affirm that our confidence is in you, Lord God, not in ourselves, but in you. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, oh God, we leave this place knowing that you are a God who leads and a God who directs. Lord, we leave this place, oh God, inviting you, oh God, to pour more and more of your wisdom, more and more of your abilities into our hearts and into our minds. And Father, we pray that as we interact with people throughout this week, that they might sense the very presence of God in us and on us and be drawn to you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.